Laura Trump appeared on The Breakfast Club, and I'm not sure why Charlamagne and DJ Envy and The Breakfast Club, who obviously are all biased and obviously are left-leaning and obviously, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, displays a lot of forms of racism. But I don't know why they keep bringing up all of the all-stars of the Republican Party. They even brought up Jill Stein as a part of what, the Green Party? Then they got absolutely washed. But here we are. Laura Trump, for those of you that don't know, Laura Trump is actually the wife of Eric Trump. So she's Trump's daughter-in-law that is now participating in helping him to win the election and playing a role in his political career, right? So she obviously went up against The Breakfast Club, and people are telling me that she absolutely washed and destroyed The Breakfast Club. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what she had to say. Let's dive into it. Let's see if we can scrub into the part where she really gets into it.
Wake that ass up.
At this point, and I've been in this position since March. It's been a wild ride. This is probably one of the craziest times in politics anyone can remember. And so I'm honored to do it.
Your father-in-law has a lot to do with that.
Well, you know, actually the RNC committee members have to vote you into this position. Mm-hmm. Now, I did get a call from him.
Charlamagne is so biased. He is so biased and he's so corny. Man, I wish I could debate the dude because he is dumber than a box of rocks. But he always got an opinion and he knows that he's wrong, but he stands on his ignorance real hard.
Back in January one night, and he said, I think you should run for this position. And to be honest, I said, I have two young kids. My kids are 5 and 7 now. I have a lot of personal endeavors that, you know, I have underway as well. I said, I don't know if this is the job for me right now, knowing how big this election was going to be, knowing what laid ahead of me. But he convinced me to run for it. And then the committee members at the RNC voted me into this position. And I'm honored to do it.
Have you been a lifelong Republican or?
You know, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. I've always voted Republican. But, you know, politics were never a big thing discussed in my household when I was growing up. I grew up in southeastern North Carolina. And, you know, I think that naturally I gravitated towards more conservative values. But we never really discussed it. But, yeah, I've always voted Republican.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's find out who Laura Trump is. So you're married to Trump's son, Eric.
Yes.
Where did you guys meet? And, you know, explain that. Break that down so people know your history and where you came from and how you got into politics. Yeah, politics wasn't your thing at first.
No. Well, it wasn't anyone's thing with the last name Trump, if we're all honest, for a long time. Mm-hmm. I grew up in southeastern North Carolina, like I said. And I moved here. I moved to New York in 2007. I actually moved here to go to culinary school.
Okay.
Of all things.
So you're a chef. You can chef it up.
Yeah. Well, now don't ask my husband because he gives me a hard time about this. I'm technically a pastry chef. I went to the French culinary.
Yeah. So you can only cook the pastries, not the other stuff.
Well, I can.
Like, he won't starve, but that's not really a thing.
Well, now he gives me a hard time because I used to make him like ice cream cakes. I'd make the ice cream from scratch, the whole thing from scratch. And then he would go on like a keto diet. And on keto, you can't have sugar.
Right.
So all of my, it would get freezer burn in the freezer. So I'm like, well, why am I going to go out of my way to make these cakes for you if we're not eating them? Anyway, he'll argue that it was a bait and switch.
You were trying to make him fat.
I pulled him in.
Yeah, you were trying to make him
and
fat.
And then I stopped making him these cakes.
So you're not a chef. You're more of like a baker.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, because they're different. Different, actually. If you look at pastries and pastry chefs, it is based on a lot of chemistry versus a regular chef who's just doing like savory dishes. There's a lot of, you can just like toss a little of this in, toss a little of that. And if you do that in baking, your cake isn't going to rise the right amount or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So a little more technical, but.
You can already tell that she's incredibly intelligent. You can already tell that because, listen, the Trump campaign and their people and their family is not going to sit anybody out there that don't know what they're talking about. So you can already tell. And this is the part where, you know, they're supposedly getting, hey, familiarize yourself to the audience. Tell us who you are and all of this stuff. But what they should be doing, if they were smart, if I'm Charlamagne, I'm gauging and I'm measuring, you know, who this person is because they obviously mismeasured when it came to Vivek Ramaswamy. They was off when it came to Byron Donalds. They off when it comes to a lot of people. So when you see these people pull up and they saying what they saying, you should be measuring them and seeing, okay, is this person that I can test? No, okay, well, we're going to go from there. But let's continue.
But yeah, I moved to New York to go to culinary school. And Eric and I met out one night in Manhattan. I mean, it's like, when does this happen? This is back in the day. I had a Razor phone. I won't tell y'all how long ago that was. But no, I certainly never had any inclination when I moved to New York that I would ever have the last name Trump. I am not a Trump by birth. Mm-hmm. And I certainly probably did not have the same upbringing as my husband. I think I probably grew up like a lot of people in America.
That's kind of good because you can get out whenever you want.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's great. And I moved here. I met Eric out one night. I had no idea that a guy named Eric Trump even existed. Mm-hmm. But you guys probably saw when I walked in, I'm a tall drink of water. Mm-hmm. And when I have heels on, I'm like 6'2".
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you walked in pumping.
Yeah.
And he was like, who that?
Yeah, well, I saw across the room. I was like, well, who's that guy who's taller than I am with mm-hmm. my heels on? I said, this could work out. And little did I know, here we are. Gosh, 16 years
So all you look for
later.
Is height? That's all it takes?
That's what drew me in, Charlamagne. Okay. But it takes a little more than that. And to be honest with you, when I found out who he was, I said, well, I think I'll go out on a date with this guy and I'll probably just have a story to tell because you have in your mind what someone with the last name Trump would be like.
So he's going
to
be an a-hole.
Right. Like, I mean, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And we went out to dinner and we...
You know, Envy going to throw in his little dumb shot. You thought he was going to be an a-hole. Envy, shut up. Just be quiet for a minute, Envy. Because when I think of somebody with the name Envy, I think... We gonna let his whole the reputation that he has proceed in him. I think simp. How about that? I think simp. Beta.
He did not order food for 4 hours because we had such a good conversation going. He was so down to earth. He was, I mean, honestly, I hate to use the word normal, but he was normal and mm-hmm. like anyone else I'd ever met. And I was so impressed with all the things he said to me and our conversation was great. And that's what really drew me in, and that's what it took for me.
Well, I got one question. Now,
you said before you went.
I should have. I did not. No, we had some drinks, but we didn't order food. And I felt bad, not to cut you off, Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. I felt bad because I've been a waitress for a long time, and I know.
They hate that.
I mm-hmm. said, I hope we leave her a good tip. Mm-hmm. So
well,
whoever
he should
Eric
Trump.
I hope Eric Trump left her a good tip. I'll have to ask him about that.
Well, why give the asshole the chance? Like, if you said to yourself, his last name is Trump, I thought he was an asshole.
Well,
why would that make you want to go on a date with him?
I mean, I think my initial...
I don't think that she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you guys will be able to rewind this, but I'm not sure that she said that he was an asshole. I don't think that that's what she said. She says a person with the last name Trump. And see, this is why I don't like this. And this is the same thing that you see in the culture and the community. And you see people that are so biased and they're so racist and they already got their mind made up on who you are before they ever meet you, instead of having an open mind and having a discussion. Because one thing that I get a lot of flack from, and this is how I know that the culture is backwards, one thing I get a lot of flack from is if people don't like the person that I'm interviewing or that I'm having on my platform, then they ask me, why are you doing this? Or why are you doing? Because I want to know what they think. I want to know what their mindset is. I'm curious as to who they are and you know, my goal is not necessarily to debate you. You see what happens when I debate somebody. It get a little different. We all witnessed what happened a couple days ago. It's not a debate. It's an interview. It's my opportunity to learn as much as I can and not be in an echo chamber with somebody that I may or may not disagree with. It's not about even whether I disagree with them. It's about getting all of the insight, all of the information in the context. So, you know, as long as they've been on this platform, The Breakfast Club, to see how stupid they are and how ignorant they operate is unfortunate. It's absolutely unfortunate. And it's a case study on how not to use your influence and clout to look like an idiot and get embarrassed by a person that's graced you with the opportunity to be able to come up here and have this conversation with you and accepted your invite and request. But he'll throw underhanded shots and he never met Eric Trump before in his life. Probably don't even know who he is, but automatically called him an asshole. Okay. All right.
So like knee jerk was, oh, this guy's going to be like, I'm not going to like him. But we communicated, you know, gotcha. We talked on the phone and he seemed relatively okay. So mm-hmm. I said, all right, let me go see what this is about. And yeah.
So when did you work at Inside Edition too, right?
I sure did.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a background in a communication media degree from NC State. Shout out to the Wolfpack.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so mad that I ever even supported Charlamagne.
And
that
yeah,
I ever
so I,
even
I got,
bought
I was
a book of his
Inside
just
for
to support
5 years
it.
Until
so aggravated,
escalator
bro.
Ride in Trump Tower. Mm. And now my life is politics.
How, at working at Inside Edition as a producer, did you not know who he was?
This was before I worked there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I worked at, this is when I was in culinary school.
Got you. What year was that?
This was 2008.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did it switch to politics? When did, because, you know, it was a big, happy entertainment family, and then politics hit. And when you started hearing the politics talk, did you believe it? Did you say, no way, this cannot possibly happen? Walk us through that, because I don't think anybody ever thought that Donald Trump would make it to president. It just didn't seem like, because he wasn't a quote-unquote politician.
Yeah. Well, he was friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you look back at Donald Trump's history, you know, he last night we were at the Al Smith dinner, and mm-hmm. he was right there next to Chuck Schumer. And he said to Chuck Schumer, who's obviously a Democrat senator, he said, I gave Chuck his first check ever when he was running for like assemblyman or something. So, yeah,
why Chuck was laughing so hard. Remember we asked why Chuck was laughing so hard? Chuck was laughing, boy.
I don't.
They all turned against him. The very people that he supported, they all turned against him because he ain't nobody loyal. Nobody is loyal in these streets. Everybody is dirty. All of them eventually turned against Trump because nobody is loyal. It's dirty. Dude gave him his first check and he forgot where he came from. So I don't trust nobody, man.
I don't be liking the optics of that. Only reason I say I don't like the optics of that is because when you hear people like Chuck Schumer say things like, Trump is a threat to democracy, but then you're sitting next to him yucking it up. Why would you be yucking it up with somebody who you consider a threat to democracy?
Well, you have to ask yourself that question, don't you? Maybe it's all scare tactics. Maybe it's a lot of fear-mongering. Charlemagne, what I can tell you is I know Donald Trump. I have known him for 16 years, and Chuck Schumer's known him a lot longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows full well he's not a threat to democracy. And you don't even have to take my word for it. Look at what he did when he was in the White House. Like, there was never any threat to democracy when he was in the...
Let me guess, he gonna bring up January 6th. Let me guess, he gonna bring up January 6th.
White House,
well,
and I would actually...
That was an attempted coup of the country.
Well, that you can argue that a lot of different ways. Peacefully and patriotically make your
so predictable. People like
coup.
This, you could just walk them right into the trap and let them fall in and let the bear eat them.
What was a coup was when they replaced Joe Biden with Kamala Harris, who was not elected by anyone to run for president. There are 14 million people who voted for Joe Biden to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And if you want to talk about a real threat to democracy, I would argue that.
That wasn't
but
a coup.
Laura,
though.
Did anyone die when that happened, though?
Well, no, not even that. Well, she was vice president. So
the only person who died was a woman who was there, actually very supportive of Donald Trump on that
but
day.
That's still a life loss. I'm just saying
the comparison is a bit
We could
go down the
drastic.
Line of people dying in a lot of different circumstances, and I would argue that list could get very long for the Democrats as well. But
she was vice president. She was on the ballot. People did vote for her. The delegates did vote for her at the DNC.
But would you, as a, I'm going to assume, a Democrat voter for a long time?
Unaffiliated.
Unaffiliated voter.
Yeah. Lies. Lies, 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 lies. Oh, and then people like this, they always try to, excuse me. They try to justify that argument saying, well, I didn't like this person as a Democrat either, and I didn't like that person as a Democrat either. Hmm.
If you were a Democrat, maybe a Democrat here, would you guys, if you had the option to vote for someone other than Joe Biden to be the representative for you on the Democrat ticket, have chosen Kamala Harris to be that person?
Yes. I would have chosen Kamala Harris.
Lies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if they would have, then why didn't they in 2019? Come on, man. Come on, bro. She dropped out. She got washed in the 2019 debate by the person that we just did a review video of Tulsi Gabbard. Stop. Stop the cap. I can't stand people that lie to your face. Just stop. It ain't even that deep, bro. Just tell the truth.
I mean, I was a person that was calling for Joe Biden to step down for a very long time. And I think that there's, you know, when Joe Biden made a statement last year, he said there's about 50 of us that could beat Donald Trump. I was like, well, line them all up then. And I definitely had her as one of the people.
Even though she dropped out whenever she ran the first time before her home state voted, before Iowa, and she was polling solo, you still would have given her the shot. And I mean, if you think mm-hmm. back too at Kamala Harris, when Joe Biden, before he got pushed out of this position, before he really kind of took it up a notch with this campaign, people were saying Kamala Harris is the insurance policy for Joe Biden because she really is not a doing a great job as vice president. I mean, she got, you know, her.
Well, I'm a person who voted. I voted for that ticket because of her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because
well,
that's your
friend.
Well, we've
got a ticket coming up very soon and a vote very soon. It's early voting in a lot of places right now. But to answer your question, mm-hmm. I know we kind of got sidetracked.
Yep.
But in politics, none of us in the family had obviously any experience in politics. But I had heard my father-in-law a lot, very upset about what he felt was wasteful. He felt like we weren't focused on America, that we were sending jobs overseas, businesses overseas, that the federal government was bloated and overspending. And he said, this isn't right. This isn't the America that I grew up in and that I think we should, you know, have as a great future for this country. And if you go back to an Oprah interview he did, I believe in the 80s, mm-hmm. she asked him, would you ever run for president? And he said, only if things got so bad, I felt I had no other choice. And I feel like he thought the country really was on a bad path. And mm-hmm. he wanted.
And it was. And we were booming when he became president of the United States of America. And Oprah turned on him too, and all of the rest of these people. And so all of a sudden it became Trump is racist, bad man Trump. Prior to 2016, everybody was rocking with him and everybody loved him. But it was the time that he decided that he wanted to do something better for his country instead of just for himself. And at that point was when everybody turned on you similarly to how they do it and everything else that happens in life. It happened in the biblical days. It's happening with Trump. It's happening all across the board. And we forgot who we are because we so busy hating and voting based off of identity politics. But she's absolutely right about her identification of who Trump is and who the people are that turned on him as a result of it.
Wanted to help bring it back. And so right before his famous golden escalator ride, we actually all sat down as a family. And I'll never forget this because it was one of those moments where looking back, I say, gosh, he really had such good insight into what was about to happen. We all sat down as a family for dinner and he talked us through, you know, I want to do this. This is definitely something that is real. Mm-hmm. But if I do this the right way, if I do what is needed and I call the people out who need to be called out and expose the things that need to be exposed, they're going to come after us. And it's not just me. It's the whole family. And I think you guys need to really appreciate that. And I need to you to understand that and make sure everybody feels good about it. And of course, we were like, well, yeah, like how bad could it be? But the foresight he had into what we've seen happen to this man, and I don't think anyone can argue if his name wasn't Donald Trump and he had never run for politics, I mean, you would never have seen any of the crazy things happen to him that have. So that was sort of where we all kind of got our intro into politics. Mm-hmm. I didn't become part of things really until I flew down to North Carolina in August of 2016 for a rally with my father-in-law to my hometown in Wilmington. And one thing led to another, and he told me that I was going to be responsible for winning him my home state mm-hmm. of North Carolina in the 2016 election. And as a person who had no idea what I was doing in politics, I said, I better learn pretty quickly and get to work. And so that's what I did.
I wonder what he learned from the first time he ran.
Hold on, I just want to know, at that dinner, mm-hmm. did y'all say, you know what? Well, let's put all our dirt on the table right now because you know they're going to be coming at you. You know, press is going to try anything that you guys have ever done. If you guys have stolen a Snicker bar from a store, they're going to come at that. Was that the dinner where you said, well, let's put everything on the table so we know what they're going to be attacking, or that never happened?
I'll be really honest. We really didn't have a lot to put on that table. And if you think that I'm lying, you really believe that anybody in the Trump family with the Trump last name wouldn't have had any and everything exposed by now? No, I mean, I think we naively thought, look, if you have good intentions and you do the right things and you're a good person, then, you know, if Donald Trump became president, I think we all thought after he won in 2016, oh, well, then all the craziness will stop. Everybody will rally behind the person who's president of the United States because we should all want our president to be successful.
That used to be the way that it was.
That is success for America. And obviously, we were very wrong about
that.
Well,
two things. Well, I want to go back to one thing first. I wonder what he learned from his 2000 campaign that he...
2016 campaign?
Well, he ran in 2000 too, officially.
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't actually talked to him about that.
Yeah,
that's a good question. I mean,
I just brought that up because you know you said that you know when you talked about the vice president's campaign in 2020. Sometimes campaigns aren't successful. Joe Biden ran a bunch of times before he actually won.
He sure did.
Trump ran before he actually won. That's why I brought that up.
Well, I don't know if he officially
2000.
Ran
in 2000.
Well,
he did.
If he did, it didn't go very far from my memory. I don't know that
That's
there was any official announcement as mm-hmm. far as I know. But look, I think he felt the right time was 2016. I think he looked at what was going on. And you know, this is a businessman. And I think a lot of what he did that was very beneficial to this country has to do with businesses, with the economy, with jobs. Those were things that were really important to him. And you hear him talk about it now. You know, he recently was talking about tariffs and how he wants to apply tariffs to countries who are, you know, it's really awful to see how so many jobs, factories have gone overseas. Mm-hmm. We want to see made in the USA on more. And you saw that happening when he was in the White House. You saw more people employed in this country than we've ever had employed in the history of America. You had more money in your pocket. You had inflation at 1.9%. It was a very different feeling when he was in the White House. And I think that's why you're seeing such great support for this man. You don't have to love everything he says. You don't have to love everything he posts on X or Truth Social or whatever. But you do have to be honest that your life probably felt a lot better with Donald Trump in the White House.
Now, why would anybody that is voting Democrat be honest? Why would they give him any credit for what their life was like and the opportunities that had presented itself at the time that he was president of the United States of America? Why would they do such a thing? Do you think that in any world, in any capacity, that a person that is liberal or a person that is made up in their mind that they're going to drink the Kool-Aid and they're going to read whatever they want to read so that they can then justify their hate for somebody else is at any point going to sit here and tell you, yes, my life was better under Donald Trump than it was over the last 3.5 years. Get the hell out of here, bro. Get out of here. No, they would not. They would not. Come on. All I hear on this show today is rebuttals. Nobody can actually argue with her, and she can articulate herself really well. And she washing Charlamagne right now, even though he's come with all of these ad hominem attacks and all of this hate right now.
And I think that that's one of the reasons that he's working so hard, because he knows he can do the job. He did it one time before.
Question, why are tariffs considered good business when we know that it's going to cause the cost of typical American household items to go up significantly?
Well, he explained
like a bunch
this.
Of economists say that it'll cost the average American $2,600 extra a year.
I think that he...
That's the Kamala Harris talking point, ladies and gentlemen. A bunch of economists.
He explained this the other day when he was sitting down with, I believe it was Bloomberg, that, look, the reality is that it's going to force people to bring their companies back to the United States. And he really believes that.
But it's going to hurt a lot of American citizens in the process of that, because it's not like these companies are going to turn up and back overnight.
Well, let's talk. I mean, if you want to talk about hurting American citizens, the first thing that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did, their first executive order in the White House, shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline. That was something that gave us our energy independence. It was so bad for America. That drove up gas prices. That caused inflation to continue to go sky high. It enriched our adversaries like Russia and Iran, because now they were supplying oil for the rest of the world instead of the United States. It put us in such a weakened state. So, you know, we want to drill, baby, drill. That's what Donald Trump always says. We have so much liquid gold.
Biden is drilled more than Trump.
Underneath our... Well, why did he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline?
I have no idea, but Biden, yeah. But Biden has drilled more than Trump.
Why did he drain our strategic petroleum reserves, which are actually supposed to be used for emergency situations, for war times?
Has Biden drilled more than Trump?
I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Where?
She washing that
you
boy.
Can look it up. He's
on Google.
He's drilled more than Trump.
Okay. Yeah. I don't believe that's true at all. And
it is.
Okay. Yeah. But Donald Trump was obviously a proponent of being energy independent and energy dominant as a country. And we are not right now. And that puts us in a very weakened state. And you would not have seen the issue in the Middle East right now. And you likely wouldn't have seen the issue with Russia and Ukraine had those countries, had Iran not had the funding and the money coming in from the oil, had Russia not had the funding and the money coming in from the oil. It's a terrible thing to see. And so, you know, I think that you can look at a lot of things and second guess them with Donald Trump and say, well, what about this? What about that? Think about how it felt. Think about how much more money you had in your pocket. Think about so many people were finally able to go on a vacation for the first time when he was in the White House. And those are real tangible things. And right now, life is very hard for so many people in this country. You know, I travel all over the place and I constantly am in airports and restaurants and I constantly am approached by people who say, I cannot afford not to vote for Donald Trump. And I think they really mean that. And whether you look at our southern border, the influx of people who've come in this country, it's detrimental to so many aspects of our society. It's something that we've spent so much money on here in New York, $12 billion over 3 years. It's costing the city of New York to house illegal immigrants. And so I think whenever push comes to shove and we're looking at this election right now, there's so many people might not love everything Donald Trump's ever said, but they certainly want to go vote for him because they want their life back. They want more money in their pocket and they want a safer community and they want peace agreements.
There's a lot of people.
I wish we had the time and the capacity to look at this whole thing and just make it about Laura Trump, because Jesus, this woman is beating them down and she is hitting them with facts after facts after facts. But we got to move on. Let me see if Envy got a little bit. Let's play a little bit more.
But let's say that, you know.
Hold on real quick. I do want to just note that inflation is down, though.
It's coming down.
It's like the 2.5%.
It's coming down, but it's not down. So elevated. But wage growth has not kept up with the rise in inflation, and it's causing people to really hurt.
I don't even think he understands how inflation works, but we're going to let her answer and see how she responds.
Around this country, they really can't make their basic ends meet right now.
I mean, inflation is down, but the prices are up. I mean, whose fault is that? That's more so the corporations than it is government.
Prices are, say that again?
Inflation is down, but the prices are up.
Inflation is not down nearly enough.
2.5%.
You can bring inflation down significantly. And I think if we had an energy independent country, it would really help.
Let me help y'all to understand how inflation works. Let's stop it there. This is how inflation has worked. So you can say, well, inflation is down. What are you talking about? Okay, so they've gotten it down to under 3%. But over the last 3.5 years, year after year after year, it was closer to 10%, which was unprecedented in our lifetime. So let's say that it did like this 1 year, and then this the next year, and then this the next year, and then it just did like this. Because now, year over year, inflation is only at 2.5, 2.6, 2.7. 2.8%. So it did like that, and then it did like this. Okay, so inflation is down. No. But we don't have deflation. So what happens is your wages didn't go up as fast. And so just because inflation is doing like this, that doesn't mean it's going back like this. You see what I'm saying? So wages and wage growth and opportunities didn't keep up with inflation. So now that it's leveled out, doesn't mean that you don't have a total inflation above 20% during their presidency, which is still leaving you at a disadvantage because your wage growth combined with the fact that people are losing their jobs and getting laid off and they already didn't have enough in order to survive or feed their families or pay all of their bills, or they had to downsize or they had to move in with their parents. When you see people like this that have conversations that have no insight as to what they're talking about or no information and don't understand what they're talking about, they make themselves look like fools to people that do. And sometimes it's even best to let them talk so that they can, you know, look even more foolish. But neither here nor there. That's Laura Trump, everybody. That was phenomenal.